chapter 8, and to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. It's good to see everybody out today. I want to welcome you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to worship Him and exalt His name. I'm glad He loved an old sinner like me and gave His life to die for my sins. Good to have a family from Oklahoma with us. They've been here before. Good to have all of the visitors that are here. We're glad you're here. Don't want to embarrass or anything like that, but just want you to know we're thankful you're here. You're an encouragement to us by being here. Matthew chapter 8 and Psalms chapter 1. Some of you may be wondering, what's this picture of a bunch of logs on a truck doing with your service? I hope before the message is over today that you'll be able to see real clearly. And I'm going to say something to Brother Shane Rice. Brother Shane Rice, I need your help today. And if you have some injection to correct me or help me, would you just feel free to do that? Be sure you're where you can. Because I'm not a professional on trees, but he is. And I was so hoping that Tom Martin would be here, but they're not here today. Tom comes from a long family of loggers and millers. And it would have been nice. I was going to have him and Shane to kind of keep me straightened out today a little bit. But I want to preach a message today that I think will be helpful to you. I've got a few slides that will go with it. Matthew chapter 8, verse 24. And does everybody there say amen? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I've got the wrong reference. Somebody help me real fast. How'd that happen? I'm needing a reference on I See Men as Trees Walking. Who's got that deal? You can look that up. It might be Luke. I'm not sure. Let me check Luke 8:24. That's not right. I can't believe I did this. I'm looking for that reference. Huh? Mark 8:24. Thank you, sister. I appreciate it. Let's try that. Well, that's bad. Preacher don't even get away what he's doing, does he? Mark chapter 8, verse number 24. Now, there we are. Now, I somehow or another wrote that down wrong on my deal, but Lord knows how to keep me broken and humble. Well, I thought I was something till that. Amen. All right, Mark chapter 8. I'm sorry, Mark chapter 8. Let's go to verse number 22. Everybody there say amen. Amen. He cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as what? Trees walking. I see men as trees walking. I want you to go to Psalms chapter 1, the very first Psalms that God gives us. This has been a great Psalm that Christians have used down through the centuries. This Psalms will guide your life. No way to overestimate the importance of Psalms chapter 1. In Psalms chapter 1, it says, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. God says something about this man that is blessed. It says, He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And it goes on, and you can look at that later. There is no question at all but what the Bible compares men to trees. In Genesis chapter 1, verse number 11, is the first time trees are mentioned. God put trees in the Garden of Eden. Some of the first commandments that God ever said had to do with trees. God told them, He said, there's trees that you, He said, you can eat of all the fruit of the trees of the garden, but He said, of the tree of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. Actually, you and I are living in a sin-cursed body and a sin-cursed world because someone ate from a tree that they weren't supposed to. Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 25, when the waters of the children of Israel that they were drinking were bitter there at Marah, God told Moses to cut down a tree, watch this, and cast it into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. The Bible said that the trees of the Lord are full of sap, referring to people that are serving God, filled with the Spirit of God. Israel as a nation is mentioned as three different trees in the Bible. They're mentioned historically as the vine tree, the fig tree, and in the future, the olive tree. The vine in the Bible is called a tree. The Bible speaks of the palm tree. Great message there. oak trees, green trees, dry trees, rotten trees, fir trees, apple trees, pine trees, box trees, corrupt trees, Jesus said, good trees. Zacchaeus climbed up what kind of tree? A sycamore tree. And so there's this all kinds of trees, and actually, honestly, it's just throughout the Bible. And by the way, at the end of the Bible, we're going to be there at the river of life and the tree of life, and we're going to get to eat of the tree of life, the Bible says. The Bible speaks also of trees of righteousness. Now, trees are interesting in that they're used for many things. You can sit under a tree. You can get fruit off of a tree. But trees are kind of like people. They have their young age, then they have their productive years, and there comes a point when it goes over and it starts to deteriorate, and its productiveness is past, and so forth. Trees are used. I've been amazed. I wound up with a sawmill inadvertently. Justin Langford, he used to come to church. His son lives up Plato. It's an awful long way from the drive. But he's a good friend of mine, and I was wanted to cut my walnut trees, and he and I were talking after church one day, and he said, well, how are you going to do them? I said, well, I guess I'll just hire somebody to come cut them. He said, Reggie, I cut trees. He said, won't you let me cut them? He said, I'll make you a lot of money, save you a lot of money by cutting your walnut trees. And he said, you can help me limb them. And Brother Ed Waltz, he skidded them. Ed, that was an experience, wasn't it? And but anyway, Justin come out there one morning, we started. And he cut down the first tree, and I started limbing them. He showed me how to limb them. And then we'd cut them up some, and Ed, he'd put a chain around that tree and on the tractor, and he'd drag it up there. And boy, we did that for days and days and days, and got done, and he saved me and made me a lot of money because he said, I'll get you hooked up with the buyers. I didn't know nothing about logging. I still don't want to know very much. Didn't know anything about trees, but I started learning. And, well, I got done with that, and I thought, well, I got a lot of oak trees, and I think maybe, you know, I better get them cut. And I didn't know how I'd go about that for sure. But anyway, Tom Martin, his wife, had started attending church here about that time and got talking to him one Sunday. I said, what do you do, Tom? And he said, well, I mill and I log. I said, really? I said, well, I'm getting ready to cut a lot of trees on my place. And he said, well, I said, you got a mill? He said, yeah. I said, we kept a couple of walnut logs my wife's wanting to make some furniture out of, and she wanted me to cut those. He said, bring them down. He said, I'll cut them up for you and I'll show you my mill. Well, Ed and Terry and Karen and I loaded up in the truck one day, took those logs down there, and I looked at his mill, and I got entranced looking at his little sawmill. He had a little band sawmill there, and he could run it all by himself, and boy, just cut that stuff. And I got entranced, and he got to talk to me all about it, and got to talk to me all about ties and boards and all this stuff and slabs. And boy, I watched, and it just intrigued me to the limit. Now, I'm one of these little entrepreneur guys, you know, always looking for opportunity, you know, make a buck. And he got to tell me that, now, Reggie, he said, if you're going to cut your trees, if you could mill them, you'd sure make a lot more money with your timber. Boy, my dollar signs started showing up in my eyes. And then he said this. He said, and I know where a used mill's at. Well, he shouldn't have said that. And he said, it'd be on your way home. You can go by and look at it. And sure enough, we stopped and looked at it on the way home. And it went on 2 or 3 weeks. And I discussed with this guy. And finally, I thought I'd be stupid to make him an offer. Now, you got to understand, I've seen sawmills and I've been around them, but I didn't know nothing about them. And I was stupid enough. That guy asked this, and I offered this. And you know what he looked? He said, I'm just going to take it. And I went, oh, no. I've got a sawmill. And anyway, finally moved that thing, and I didn't know what I'd bought. I didn't have no clue what I bought. Didn't know what anything was. When this building stuff is over there, and I just seen anything the same color. I just took it because it went with the. I didn't know what it was. I'm serious with it. I didn't know what a power pack hydraulic was. Couldn't use it. But anyway, got it there. And kind of cut all this short, set it up there. And I never will forget, and I rolled the first log on the mill. And I was supposed to get a 7x9 tie of it, and I didn't have any clue how in the world it was going to happen. I'm telling you what, I was afraid that thing was going to go off like an atomic bomb or something. I was just kind of like this here, you know. And that thing's running, and I cut that thing. And anyway, to make a long story short, still don't know what I'm doing, but I've learned a lot. And I want to preach you a message today on this. Some of the things that I've learned at the mill. I need to say this, that about the second day I was running that mill, well, on a Sunday night, Daniel, he come to me, Daniel Carr, and he said, Reggie, heard you bought your mill. I said, yeah. He said, I'm looking for a job, so I'm going to get married. He said, you need any help? I said, well, yeah, I do. I need somebody off bear, but I'm awful slow. You'll be standing most of the time. He come out there for about 2 days, and I could tell he had a real interest in it. He was watching real close. And I remember something the sales guy told me down there at Ellington. He said, Reggie, he said, these young boys that have good eye-hand coordination, they played a lot of games and stuff, and they're good things. He said, they make the best sawyers. And I looked over to him, and I said, Daniel, you're wanting to run this mill, aren't you? He's standing right there by me. I was running it. He said, I'd like to try. I said, well, you can try on your own time after work. And he did. And he started the next day. And 2 days later, he was cutting faster than I was. And I ain't never looked back. I just let him have it. Now Elijah's, Wilson's cutting. And they're burning up them old blades. And I've had the joy of a lot of guys working right there. The main man right there. He want to get something done, get that boy right there. I tell you, whenever everything's out, and boy, right there's a boy that we ain't had us a time, haven't we? It's been an experience, ain't it? But good working boys, and I want to tell you, all of you guys that's worked out there, whether it's Ben or any of you guys, I'm telling you, we couldn't do it without you. It'd shut down tomorrow if it wasn't for you boys. And I appreciate you. Now, don't buy a sawmill to get rich, because that don't happen. Not that I know of, anyway. But I was sitting there one day, and Daniel was cutting. And he cut into a log, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said to me, Reggie, logs are like men. They don't always look, it's not always what it appears on the outside. And I was real sick about it because I paid full price for this log, and it looked good all the way around. But when you cut into its heart, it was absolutely worthless. It was not what it looked like. And I began to watch logs, and I began to really look at things. And so we're going to look at some things today, what I've learned at the sawmill. As I said, men are like trees. People are like trees. The outside appearance may look good. But the Bible said, man looketh upon the outward appearance, and God looks upon the heart. I'm going to take you through a few things. I'm going to show you, and then we're going to come back. I'm going to explain some things to you and just give you a few shots here, and I hope I do this right. This is a load of logs coming into the mill there. Here's some logs down there and where we've scaled them and measured them and wrote the size of the log on there. After they're unloaded, you start scaling them. And they have what's called an international scale and a Doyle scale. And they have sticks, and it tells you how many board feet is it in a log, having the sawdust cut out of the cut out of them. And it's an interesting thing because there's different size cuts and a lot of stuff in it. The Bible said, watch this. God says, I want a just weight and a just measurement. And boy, in logging business, that's very, very critical. Let me tell you something about a logger. If you have a friend or a family member that's a logger, he's one of the hardest working people. If anybody in the world makes his living the hard way, that man does it. There's not one job in that whole thing that I know that's easy. It is tough, dangerous work. Many people are killed by it. I hired a man this week to drive a truck. Found out just after I'd hired him a little bit that in 1991, his father was killed by a log falling off a log truck just like that right there. He was standing by it. Log fell off and killed his daddy in 1991. It's very dangerous work. There's nothing you do with them that's not tough and not dangerous. But you scale those logs. You can see right there, this 20 right there, it's a 20-inch log. And so you lay them out there and you scale them and so forth and pile them up and get regular. Now, I want you to notice something. Anybody see that right there? That's a hole in the back of that log. We're going to start looking at logs as they were looking at men. But this is what we're wanting after we're done sawing. We want to make some boards, and that goes into all kinds of things, flooring and so forth, like getting furniture. And these here are railroad ties, and that's what you try to get out of it. Now, we're going to start looking at some stuff here today, and you'll start thinking. Right here is a railroad tie, and we hate to see this when the tie buyer comes, because he's got a little blue can, and oh, Shane, he's rough with that can. And, you know, but you get to thinking about these people are buying railroad ties for these great big trains to run over. And they don't want a piece of junk. And, you know, but I think they ought to buy my junk. I mean, they ought to buy my junk, but they don't want to buy my junk. But right here is a tie that he etched. Now, can anybody tell me what's wrong with that tie? Why did that tie buyer etch that log? Huh? It's rot right there in the center of it. It's rot. And that thing won't last. They put that down. They're wasting their time putting it on the truck. It won't work. So that's one thing that can be wrong with a tie. Here's another tie that has a problem. Can anybody tell me what that is right there? What is that? I didn't hear him. Hard crack. All right. It is a hard crack. That's called ingrown bark. That's a very serious problem in a log. We're going to look at it pretty soon. Ingrown bark. Keep these things in mind. Rot, ingrown bark. All right. This one right here is a big one. This is a big one. This log right here, if I looked at it, I'd look at that and I'd say, what's wrong with that? There ain't nothing wrong with that. I'd say, why are you spraying that for? And he said, Reg, you need to learn some things. Now, remember, I wasn't raised in this industry. I was just learning all this stuff in the last year or two. This tie has one of the most serious problems trees can have. It's called shake. And it's where the tree has separated the fibers that go up and down the tree. That tree will fall apart. It has suffered in its early life some severe event that caused the fibers in within it to separate and makes it very vulnerable to just being worthless and falling apart. But that's called shake, and it goes around the circumference of what the tree right there. This is another picture of shake. You can see where he's etched it, but you can see that shake line. It's a fault line right there, and it makes that tree basically worthless, especially as a tie or some beam of that nature. There again, you see that shake in there. This is a huge problem. This again is ingrown bark. Now, there's something else about this tree that you need to see right here. Now, we're talking about seeing men as trees. God says, I saw men as trees. This man said, I see men as trees walking. God says, he shall be like a tree. We better look at a tree if we want to learn some things about ourselves. This tree has two problems. Number one, it has ingrown bark right here. Now, by the way, they will allow, or they say they will, 3 inches of ingrown bark on a railroad tie. But that gets pretty dicey because, you know, and we're just getting to the point of where we don't even want them at all, okay, because we don't want to have to handle them twice. But this tree has another problem. Has anybody spotted it? Huh? It's got two hearts. It's got a heart there. It's got a heart there. It's called a double heart. Very serious problem and causes almost complete unusableness in the log. This here again is a tree that has both shake and rot. The funny thing about it is that all of these problems that's within the log of the tree kind of start mingling together and start coming together, and they one feeds the other. You get a shake, then you start getting rot. Or you get an ingrown bark, and it starts to shake and rot out and so forth and like that. So you get these things. This tree right here, you can see. There, now this is a tree that probably, and Shane, here's where I might need you up. Has that tree been fire burned? He says yes. This tree right here, if you look right up through here, there's a gap in this tree, and when this tree was young, it got burnt by fire, went through the woods, and it got burned as a young tree, and it hindered it, and it hurt it. And you can see now, though that tree may have looked really great just standing there in the woods, you can see what was happening on the inside of this tree and to the heart of this tree as a result of having been burned when it was young. Actually, the tree's all but worthless. I mean, you might get a few boards out of this, but you're not going to get anything hardly out of it at all. Oh, this tree is an amazing tree. You can see this tree's been on the mill. This tree was rolled down on the mill. And we were going to try, you know, what you try to do is salvage all the parts you can out of it. You buy this log, even if it's inferior when you buy it, and you say, well, I can't give this for it, but we'll try to give this and get something out of it. And Daniel had put this tree on the log mill, and we thought, well, we'll get some real nice boards on the outside. And when he cut into that, show was over. Show was over. And so you just take it on off and get rid of it. You take it out to the firewood pile, okay? But here this tree, you can see, was... It looked kind of like it had quite a bit of boards on the end, maybe, but when you just got into it, that it had just enlarged itself on the inside. Here's another picture of that hollow on the inside. This is what we call hollow tree, and more pictures of it there. There's a nice log. Everybody see that log? Really, really nice log there. But that log has a problem you can't see, and this is the problem. It's really got problems. It's called hollow. So we're going to be looking at hollow. So we've looked at shake, we've looked at rot, we've looked at ingrown bark, we've looked at double hearts, and now we're looking at hollow trees. And here again is one that I wanted to really get a picture of, because again, this tree right here is a good picture of ingrown bark and double hearted. And so you have to make a decision when that tree is on the mill. What you're going to try to do, is there any way of getting some value out of that tree? So you look and see, well, is one of these straight enough down there that we can get a tie out of or some boards out of that'll work? And a lot of times what they'll do is cut right here, cut right down toward this bark center right there, and then try to get the good out of this. Sometimes you make it, sometimes you don't. Here's a tree that has a center in it, it's rotting out. Again, probably it was fire burned and so forth. Here's another shot of a double-hearted tree with ingrown bark. Another shot of it there. But you can see this tree is, well, that says 18. That's a pretty good sized tree, but you can see it's starting to deteriorate. You can start seeing the rot and so forth here. Again, now here's a good classic shot of shake in this tree. You can see it starting to take loose there. You wouldn't want your floor, you wouldn't want those pews built out of those kind of trees, because as it ages and dries and so forth, it's going to get worse and worse. Well, that was that. So anyway, we're going to just kind of leave these things alone and go from here. Let's talk about, first of all, this morning's shake. I give you a little bit of a deal on there. And Brother Shane, if you decide something, if something hits you, now I'm serious as death, brother, something hits you and you see an analogy that I'm missing in this, I'd appreciate you flagging me and say, hey, Reggie, this, because I'm serious. I don't know a lot. I'm just learning, okay? Now, first of all, we want to look at, let's look at the shake. Let me try to find a tree with shake in it again, okay? Right? Well, that has some in it there. Right here is shake. Shaking again is a broken, separated section in the tree on the early growth rings. You say, Reggie, what caused shake? Shane, do you know what causes shake primarily other than storms and just hard events? Yeah. Glad you brought that up. Railroad companies will not buy blackjack trees because of that reason. You don't put a black, you don't cut it, you don't buy it, you don't eat it, because they will not buy it because they know it's going to shake. But for preaching purposes this morning, the Bible speaks in 2 Thessalonians 2:2 that ye be not soon shaken in mind. I'm going to be real honest with you this morning. I discussed this with my mother and my father today. One thing that really bothers my dad in Christianity and what he sees in Christian life is how shaky people are. Are you listening today? Let me tell you something, folks. If we're going to be used of God, we need to be solid. And we need to be sound in faith. And someday the saw of God is going to come and expose us what we are. I have never seen in my life a time in America when people are so shaky. Some new doctrine will come along and they fall for it. God says, don't be shaken in mind. What was the problem? They were being shook up because somebody had told them that the coming of the Lord was, that the Lord had already come. Yes, brother.
You also have a blackjack and a black oak roots and grass, and then form a new tree with properties of
old. If you didn't hear him, he said you could have blackjack and black oak, right? Form a what? The roots will grab, form a new tree with the properties of both. I'm going to say this to you. You better get a hold of the truth and get sound in faith and not be shook up by every new deal that comes down through the pike. Somebody has said there's a new religion starts almost every other week in this world. We need to be sound in faith. We need to be not shaken. By the way, let me say this to you. You say, Reggie, what shakes things up? Luke chapter 6 verse 48 says that this talking about the house that was built on the rock, and it talked about the winds and the water and the floods that came, and it said it was not shaken because it was built on a rock. Let me tell you what your kids need to know this morning, this church house. They need to know that mom and daddy is going to stay together. Are you listening to me? Did you know why we got kids that's on Ritalin and Prozac and they're messed up in their lives and they're absolutely just crazy? I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me. I love you. But you keep your marriage together. If you want to put shake into the heart of your child, you just bust the family up. There are many kids growing up in America who are afraid that things are going to fall apart, because they say, if my family can fall apart, what else can fall apart? If I can't depend on mom and dad. I'm just saying this, folks, there's something we can learn from here. Because that tree cannot be used for its highest purposes and use because of the shake that's in it. You say, not only does divorce and broken homes shake up lives, but the insecurity of life. Somebody dying, you lose something, your finances go, your events comes in world conditions. Some of you may be getting shook up today about, let me tell you something, I think we ought to be concerned. We ought to fight the good fight of faith, but we ought to not be shook up. Our God is still God. He has already told us these things will come to pass. We know what the end of it is, and we know that God is ultimately sovereign and in control, and you don't need to be shook up by what you're hearing on the news. I didn't say be concerned. I didn't say fight the good fight of faith, but don't be shook up. False doctrines, false philosophies. Let me tell you, this deal right here is in the heart of almost every child in America, and I'm going to tell you why. Why our churches and our faith in America is shook. Because we're sending our kids to be taught that God is not true, that God's a liar, that they evolved. And when they hear that God created on Sunday, but that we evolved on Monday, it fractures their soul. And their life is shook up. And then we wonder why when they get to be 18 or 20 or 25 years old, they don't have any more time for faith. They don't have any, their faith gets shook up. Events come along and they get blown out of the water. The Bible said in Psalms 46, it said, yea, though the mountains fall into the sea, God is our refuge, our very present help in time of trouble. What is God saying? That with your faith in Christ, your faith in the Word of God, you don't have to be shook up by everything that comes along. You don't have to be torn apart by every financial upset that comes, by every event that's going on in the world. That we can be sound and solid in faith. And that's what God wants. And by the way, we're raising these children. They need to have a life that's without shake. I'll leave it at that. 1 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God wants us to have an unshakable faith. I want to ask you a question today. Listen to me well. I've been pastoring here a long time. I have seen people that I did not think could be shaken, shook. Are you listening to me? What is it going to take? Now, here's an interesting thing. I want you to listen to this one. I'm not up here trying to entertain you. We're in serious business raising these families. Amen. We're in serious business as a church being what we ought to be for God in these last days. But I tell you this much, we have got to give a solid, God will allow winds and storms to come in your life to test you and to shake loose the things that's not good for you so that the things which cannot be shaken, Hebrews says, shall remain. God will put you through storms to shake. I'll be honest with you right now. I'm 62 years old. God is sending a little storms in my life, but He's trying to shake some things off that need to be shaken off so that I can fulfill and be and do that which God has called me to do. It's not as if these things are not okay, but they may not be okay for you. They may not be right for you. They may not be right for me. And God allows storms to come and things will be shaken off. What He does not want it to do, though, is to shake the inner part of your soul to where you're just wobbly and you just blow with every wind that comes along and everything tears you up and everything upsets you and everything tears you apart. Health can shake people up. Your health is gone. It shakes them up. Your finances can shake you up. The loss of friends can shake you up. The loss of fellowship among believers can shake you up. I'm going to ask you something. If you didn't have anybody left to fellowship with in this world, can you still be solid and be sound in the faith? Let me give you an example. I want to cut this to the bone real quick. Now, I pray God, Brother Ralph, that by God's grace, I'm only here today because of God's grace and God's keeping power. And if I'm back next Sunday, it'll be by God's grace and by God's keeping power. And I pray God Almighty that I will never conduct myself in such a way that He'd say, Reggie, I've got to cast you aside. But let's just say, for example, that between now and next week, my life got so messed up that I could not pastor this church and I wasn't here. Or let's just say that I became so discouraged this week that I just packed my suitcase and headed west. Said, I'm tired of fighting and I'm tired of the struggle. I wonder what would happen to this church. Would it shake you? Yes. But if it shakes you, will you stand? Will you continue? You know what amazes me all over this country? Preachers quit and leave and people just gone. And Jesus talks about that. The wolf comes and the shepherd flees, or the shepherd abandons them and the sheep scatter. I'm telling you right, you know what I'm after as a pastor? I'm after, by God's grace, building people up in the faith so solid that they can't be shaken. Let me give you something. My mama, and I don't know how we got on this morning, it's like God's with it. But I'm sitting there, my mom and dad. My mom said, Reggie, can you remember a time when at Oak Forest Church, I did not know this. She said, Reggie, there was 3 weeks in my entire life that I did not go, adult life, after she got right with God and started going to church. She said, I didn't go to church. She said, you know why I didn't go to church? There was nobody there. They shut the church doors. This is an Oak Forest. I didn't know that. And she said, Reggie, but there's one thing happened. She said, Stanley Hinote made up his mind that he was going to go open the doors of that church and sit there if nobody else came. Now, you listen to me and listen to me real good. That was before I was born. Or at least must have been a baby. And my mom said that I made up my mind, well, if Stanley will be there, I'll guess I'll go too. And she said, Reggie, I can remember, and by the way, I can remember Wednesday nights when there wasn't anybody there but Stanley and my mother and maybe two or three of my brothers. And I am telling you this, that I'm glad Stanley Hynote didn't get shaken just because they didn't have a pastor. I'm glad he drove up there by his old pickup by himself and unlocked the doors of that church and walked in there and sat down and opened his Bible and would just sit there and read it. Go up there at the front and get on his knees and say, Lord, would you send us a preacher? Lord, there's kids in this community needs to be saved. There's families need a place to go to church. We ain't got no pastor. I want to tell you about Stanley Hynote. I remember him talking about looking at the stars when he was laying on his back as a soldier in Europe in World War II. He said, Lord, he said, I'd look up there, Reggie, and I'd look at those stars and the moon, and he'd say, my mom and my daddy can see the same stars. And he said, oh, God, would you connect? He said, I want to get back home with my mom and my daddy. He said, God answered that prayer. And he said, I've made up my mind to serve God. It don't matter. I want to tell you something. That man was so faithful. He was like Mrs. DeGate. He was the rock of ages. Amen. But I want to give you a little something. If that man had said, well, I guess everybody else was gone. We ain't got no preacher, so I guess we'll just quit and lock the doors. Guess what? Brother Tim, I probably wouldn't be preaching today. I'd probably be dead and in hell. And that is the honest truth. Because one man didn't get shaken. I want to challenge this church today. I want to challenge you young kids. There's going to be a day when we pass off the sea. We are moving across the stage of life. And I tell you what we need, Ezra. I'm telling you what we need, kids. We need some kids to say, everybody else may shake loose, but I am not shaking loose. I am not going to get shook. I'm not going to have that in my life. You may have gotten hurt. There may be some winds of life, but you're going to stand and you're going to still be there. Is everybody getting what I'm trying to preach? Let me tell you something. Somebody's got to open the doors. Somebody's got to unlock it. Somebody's got to turn on the light. Somebody's got to turn on the heat or turn on the air conditioning. And you ought to say, if it comes out, you ought to say this. If Connie Friend and Danny Friend shakes out and they don't have it unlocked, I'll get a key and I'll unlock it, Reggie. I'll be there. Shake. My dad asked me this morning, he said, Reggie, he said, when all these people just fly out of churches and quit churches, he said, the thing I want to ask him, is that what you want? Do you want the churches of America to shut down? Do you want mosques to take over our country? Shake. What's going to take to shake you? You listen to me and listen to me well. There will be storms come to try your faith. And they're going to be stuff you never dreamed would come. It's going to be wilder than you ever imagined. But all God's doing is shaking stuff out of your life that needs to be gone anyway and to make you stand and get you solid and settled in Jesus Christ. The next thing is rot. I won't spend much time here, but My rot. I don't know if we can find that. It was on the first one right there. Boy, I tell you what, Joel, I'm the world's worst. I can't even find it after I'm done with it. Let's go back here and see if we can't find it. There it is right there. The Bible said this. You can learn something from this log. Envy is as the rottenness of the bones. Envy is the rottenness of the bones. Boy, I tell you what, inside we don't need rot. We can be rotten with sin, rotten with lust and greed and bitterness and all those kind of things. We don't need rot. That's the thing. Let's go down to it. I got shake, right? Number two, we got rot. You can't use a tree. Ain't got any value to it. You say, Reggie, what did they do with trees? Well, in our case, they make railroad ties and they make flooring and make boards. I sell down here at Mountain View. They send, you know, your tongue groove boarding all over the world. But I got a place that found out they use lumber I never dreamed about. And they said, there's no bottom to it. It said every truck you see going up and down the road, box trailer, has got pallets in it. Every truck, nearly, that's traveling on the road has got pallets in it. And a guy told me over here east, he said, Reggie, if you could count the sand on the seashore, you could count the need for pallets. He said, every day they're tearing them up and they're throwing them away. And he said, they can't hardly make pallets fast enough that they're using them. So they go into that. But there's other things. There's boards and pallets and ties and flooring. And then there's beams, and there's no end to it. In this building right here, there's all kinds of things around you made by wood all the time. So you can't use rot. If we're rotten inside, God cannot use us. Another thing is that fire-scarred business. We looked at a fire-scarred tree a while ago. Usually that happens when they're young, and it kind of grows in. But usually what happens is it begins to rot. But I call that being burned out. How many of you have ever been burned at church? Let me tell you something. You're going to be wounded in the house of your friends. You're going to get burnt by gossip. You're going to get burnt by false accusation. You're going to get burnt by disappointment in people that you put a lot of confidence and trust in. People are just people. I don't care whether they're standing behind the pulpit or whether they're standing at the back of the church. People are just people. And you cannot let things like that burn you. Let me tell you, as a preacher, I don't want to burn out, but neither do I want to rust out. And there's no need for me to do either one. But I'm going to be honest with you. It's like we said in Sunday school class. If we don't come apart sometimes, we're going to come apart. We'll burn out. There are a lot. I'll tell you what I've seen more than, you know what burns out more than preachers? Preachers' wives. They get tired of it. Why do we have to take it all the time? Why are we supposed to take it all the time? Why are we put on a higher plane of expectation than anybody else? I thank God for my wife. I don't think she cares. She doesn't worry about it. I've never seen her worry about it. Can I tell you some honest truth this morning? If I do die, don't you say one good thing about me. You say it all about her. Because I can promise you, I get the judgment. See if God's going to say, Reggie, step aside. Karen, come up here. Can I say to you that I do not hear, she has not pestered my life. She doesn't. She just takes it in the flow. I don't know. I never see anything like her. Paul, listen to this. How many thinks Paul's a pretty good Christian? Not bad. Amen. Did you know Paul said, who is offended? Watch it. And I burn not. You ever heard the statement that burns me up? Have you ever felt like that burns me up? You're fixing to get fire scarred. You're fixing to get fire scarred. Paul said, who is offended and I burn not? He said, there's things people's done and said that's ticked me off, that set my heart afire. You got to be careful. Don't get fire burnt. You can't go to church with people long enough. You're going to get burnt. Amen. The nicest guy in church here is going to do something so stupid you're going to go. And you know what the real problem is? Satan sets you up for this. He'll set you up for it. You just think they're great. And the longer you, well, the more you know them, the greater you think they are. And pretty soon you've got them set up here on a pedestal in your mind that they never are. And then Satan comes in and kawoom, they do or say something that you never thought that they would do. And it burns you worse than it ever would because you thought they were so great. Watch out for being fire scarred. Amen. Be careful of it. Well, the next thing is hollow. Does anybody know what lives in hollow trees? Snakes. Primarily. Now, every once in a while, an innovative coon will run that snake out. Or an innovative squirrel. But let me tell you something. You want to find snakes? Just cut down hollow trees. There ain't nobody can get to them. They can go in and out of there and they're safe. There ain't nobody gets them. And besides that, it's a great place for mice to run around and snakes like mice. You know, I don't want to be a hollow tree. I don't want to look real good on the outside. Jesus said about the Pharisees, he said, you're white as sepulchers, but you're hollow. You're full of dead men's bones. I'll tell you what, don't be a hollow tree. Amen? Don't be a hollow tree. The cage of every foul spirit the Bible talks about. Well, then there's ingrown bark. I got to get through this. Y'all getting hungry and I'm getting tired. How many wishes I'd hurry, Pastor? Raise your hand. All right. Yes, 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 yes. I see all those hands. All right. Ingrown bark. We looked at ingrown bark a while ago. I don't know if we can get that back. But ingrown bark reminded me of something when I got to studying it. I don't know if I can find that or not. Let's see if we can find some. Yeah, there's some ingrown bark. And I thought to myself, now listen to me. I have watched this repeatedly and it'll get you. Ingrown bark is where you become self-centered. It's all about me. It's about whether I'm happy. It's about whether I'm satisfied, whether I'm pleased. Instead of your life being an outward ministry to others, instead of God and others, it's about me all the time. There's no outward ministry. There's no love for the lost. It's about me all the time. Now, I'm going to say something. Hang on to your seat a little bit. I'm not too interested. Are you listening? I'm not too interested in you telling me that you want to be in the ministry if you won't talk to lost people about their soul out here in public. I wouldn't give you a dime for a preacher that gets up on Sunday morning, Ralph, and preaches and won't talk to a man out yonder during the week about his soul. I think he's a hypocrite. In fact, I will tell you something. The night I surrendered to preach, this honest truth, I remember being at that altar, not this one, but down there on the old porch. I remember as clear as a bell, the Holy Ghost of God saying, Reggie, this isn't just behind the pulpit. This is everywhere you go. This week, Nathan and I was in a place, another state, and we got ready to leave, and this is really interesting. I just thought, well, you know, I wanted to talk to him about the Lord, ask him about the Lord. The Lord put me here. I'm going to, and so these two men, he was working with them, got ready to go. Everything loaded up. We were getting ready. I said, boys, I need to talk to you about something. They said, what's that? I said, are either one of you men saved? You know the Lord. And man, they just reared back and laughed. Said, oh, yeah. He said, Reggie, please don't leave right now. Hang on just a minute. Ain't you got just a few minutes? I said, yeah. Well, he said, come on to the house with me. Come on to the house. So we get up to the house. He reaches over behind and he pulls out this plaque, a board. He said, I want to give this to you. And you know what it said? He had ingrained in real nice ingraining, Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he said, would you take this back to Missouri with you? You've got a piece of wood from Michigan. I didn't tell Danny Vrin I went to Michigan, but I don't blame you for moving. But anyway, no, it was nice up there. It was real pretty. But anyway, he gave that to me. Well, I have one hanging over my door at my house. I said, I'll tell you what to do. I give this to Nathan. He can take it home with me. But you know what was a blessing? Supposedly they said they were saved. I take them at their word. But you know what? Kenny, if I'd have left there and the Holy Ghost telling me to witness to these men and I hadn't done it right now while I'm preaching, they'd be eating my lunch that I didn't do what God told me to do. Now, I don't always have to jump on them, grab them by the throat and say, are you going to hell? I don't do that. I just want to toss God into the conversation somehow or another. I want to make them think about God, think about eternity, think about that kind of thing. I don't want to have ingrown bark. It's not all about what Reggie Kelly's doing and all about me and so forth. Then there's the double-heartedness. The Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We have our hearts in the world, but then our hearts with God. I want to tell you something. Tie buyers don't like double hearts. They know there's going to be a problem there. What do they know? Are you listening? What do they know about a double heart? One heart is eventually going to give way to the one that's stronger. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. What is it about? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All thine heart. Double hearted. Then there's another problem trees have. When the rot sets in and all that stuff sets in, it's called insects and termites. Oh my goodness, I'll tell you what, I've seen Daniel cut into a tree. And all of a sudden, here pops a hole about that big around right there in that flat. When he comes back, drags that deal back. And guess what starts coming out of that tree? Termites everywhere. Great big old boogers. And you know what you know I know? We got trouble. Because that little old hole popped a termite. There's something worse down inside. Now you say, Reggie, what are termites? Well, let me give you a few termites that I've had. Every once in a while, God has to fumigate this tree. I've had a little termite called jealousy, bitterness. I don't want to talk about any more of them. Well, there's a deal in this country right now. Brother Shane, what is it? Ash borer? I mean, it's destroying entire forests. They're going in right now and cutting entire forests down before it's ruined because this borer goes in, doesn't it? And it lays a larva, it puts a larva in there, and then that larva hatches, and it ruins the tree in essence, right?
Yeah, the wasp shoots a little egg in the tree, and then that turns into a worm that chews to the center of the tree.
Every time it goes to center, and then turns into a wasp crawling down the bottom. The wasp shoots an egg into the tree. The egg grows into a larva, hatches. The larva eats its way to the very center of the tree. Are you listening? Then it turns into it hatches out into a wasp and comes back out the hole that it sent to the center. Does anybody know what happened to it. I have literally, I'm sure he could tell, I wish I had pictures of it. You can walk up to trees and they've got the holes complete, every little bit, there's complete holes around them like that. Is that right? But is that where they lay them eggs at? Okay. Yeah. And I'm telling you right now what happened. Now listen, here's the picture. You got this wasp that shoots in the egg and the egg starts growing and then gets up to a worm stage and he eats to the heart of the tree and ruins everything. Let me give you something. I have watched in my own heart, in my own life, Satan shoot a little egg in my heart. And if I ain't careful, I let that thing hatch and I feed it. And if I'm not real careful, that worm eats to my heart. And pretty soon in my heart, I'm not right towards somebody. Yes. Ooh. Did you hear what he said? He said they're low sap trees are susceptible. Guess what sap stands for in a tree? The Holy Spirit. Low on the Holy Spirit, vulnerable to Satan's attacks. Thank you. That's kind of what we're looking for here. Amen. Anyway, I hope you all enjoying this. Is everybody bored to death?
No.
All right. At least I got one good. Amen. Thank you. Well, anyway. You know, and I'll tell you something. There's one other thing. We can go all day. There's no end to studying trees. I can tell you that. But there's a little outfit I call a woodpecker. Yeah, how many have ever known a person that's like a woodpecker? Yeah. But you know what's bad about woodpeckers? You let a woodpecker peck on your tree long enough, you know what's going on? He's going to put a place for stuff to come in. And for rot to start, I got to go on. I appreciate that, brother. Now, again, what's the lowest and the highest use of things? Well, we can have railroad ties. We can have pallets. We can have flooring. But there's boards called, when you make boards, I didn't know it was pretty interesting. Brother Matt, you can really help me here. FAS boards, which is your highest level. That's what you make it. Jake, raise your hand back there. Cabinet maker. Cheapest guy in the country to have your cabinets. Well, I better not say that. Best maker. Not the cheapest, but the best. There you go. Anyway, Jake, what kind, do you buy 3B lumber to make cabinets with? No. He buys what's called cabinet grade lumber most of the time, unless somebody wants some hickory or something like that. Now, that means when you have FAS, that comes off, there's no blemishes in it. Boy, it's just grain, pure, nah, I mean, ain't got nothing in it. Then they have common one, common two, common three, and then they have 3B, and 3B goes in the junk pile. Can't get anything out of it. Just all but firewood's what it is sometimes, okay? But then here's what's really neat. Did you know the wood that I love, now listen to this, oh, this is good. How many's ever heard of burl? Well, how many's ever seen walnut burl? Well, how many's ever heard of Henry Rifles? Henry Rifles buys their material down in this part of the country. And they buy the crotch area of walnut trees where they cut the log off. And here's this crotch of the limb and stuff. And they ship whole semi-loads of this up to old Henry Rifle deal. And they go in there and get them rifle stocks out of that walnut burl. Burl is tremendously close, what would you call it? Close knitted or grain, close grained. And burl is beautiful, makes beautiful coffee tables and everything. But you know what? You know what burl comes from down at the bottom of the tree? Come hard times. When that tree was hanging on for all of its life, it was giving it everything it had just to hang in there. And it got gnarled. But oh, let me tell you something. When you're cutting through burl, you better have a sharp blade. Because it's stout and it's strong and it's tough and it's beautiful. And can I tell you that a Christian who's been through the storms and been through the battles, been through the fight, and came out with God's grace on the other side and didn't give up, is strong and beautiful and good for God's use. And the most precious wood out there is that wood which has been through the battle and the storm and didn't get shook. And it's just so tight. And the more the storms blew, the tighter it hung on. I got to quit. But let me tell you, say, well, Reggie, how in the world do I get to be a log and a nice board? Well, you have to be cut down. And worse than that, you have to be de-limbed. All of our glory has to come off. And then worse than that, you have to be sawed up. They call it bucked. Sawed in the measurement. And then you have to go through the mill. And then you're exposed for what you really are. And then you're graded. I read in my Bible, gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. We're all heading to the mill, folks. But oh, I want to be a railroad tie so you can get run over the rest of your life. Amen. Hey, if you're going to be used of God, get ready to be run over. Well, you say, well, I don't want to be a railroad tie, but I'd sure like to be some pretty flooring. Well, get ready to get walked on. That's what's going to happen. You say, well, Lord, I want you to use me. Lord, I want you to use me. Get ready to get run over, walked on, sanded down, planed, chopped down, cut down, limbed. I'll tell you what's worse than anything. They cut that tree down limb it and they start dragging it through the woods. They don't care if they drag it over rocks, mud. It don't make any difference. How many of you feels like you've been cut down, de-limbed, and drug ways? Okay, all right. Well, anyway, let me give you this. Then they'll saw that up and they'll dry it up and they'll measure it. But I got some good news for you. In Exodus 26 is where you find the subject of boards in the Bible. You hardly find it anywhere else. Well, boards in Exodus 26 is when they built the tabernacle. Are you listening? Which is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ and His church. And the inner tabernacle had boards that had been sawn, measured, and they were all standing on something, silver sockets, standing on redemption. They weren't boards laying down. They were boards standing up. Stand up! Stand up for Jesus, the Bible song says. And they were put together by bars, five bars, which speaks of the grace of God, standing on silver sockets of redemption. And you know what God wants you to do? You know what He's done with me and He's doing with you in this church? He's sawing us down, limbing us, dragging us up, cutting us up, measuring up, and sawing us in two and planting us, and He's making us to stand up in His church. And you know what else He wants us to do? He said, that, I want to tell you right now, there was not one board higher than the other board. They all were on equal ground at the foot of the cross. But they stood side by side. And you know what our churches need is boards standing up that's been willing for God to cut them down and limb them off and saw them up and expose them for what they are and sand them down and put them up for God's sake and stand together. That's what we need. Well, there's another place in the Bible that mentions boards, and it's in Acts 27. I like this one. Old Apostle Paul was on a ship and he was headed out there and the storm called Euarchidon come up. Now the church is pictured as a ship in the Bible. I don't know whether you know that or not. It's a type, a ship is a type of the church. Jesus is the captain. We're sailing across the seas of this world, heading toward glory. Well, this old boat got into a storm. And the Bible said toward the end that it got beat to pieces. And the captain of the ship told them all to jump off and everybody's on your own, make your way toward shore. And the Bible says that some got to shore floating on boards. And I saw that in the Bible and I said, oh dear God, may I be a board that was one day cut down, de-limbed, drug up, cut up, measured up, and sawed up, but used for your glory. And may, Lord, at the end of this thing, may some old shipwrecked brother, floating on the stormy seas of life, thinking that he's going to go down, all of a sudden bumps into something and said it's a board. And he grabs hold of that board, crawls up on top of it, and floats on in the shore. I want to be a board for God. It may mean getting cut down, and it may mean being delimbed, and it may mean being drugged, and it may be being walked on, and it may be run over. But I'm telling you something, if it'll help us, some old shipwrecked, forlorn brother may have hope again. You say, Reggie, I'll tell you what, I feel like I've been shipwrecked and broken up and beat up, and I've tried to live for God. It just seemed like everything's train wrecked. Oh, you're just a good old board that some old sister, some old brother's going to have to lay a hold of to make it on in the shore. Because you were willing to be a board for Jesus Christ. I've got one more tree and we're out of here. Listen to this very carefully. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. Our cross, the cross of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is referred to as a tree. And that cross is a picture of what our Lord Jesus Christ allowed happen to him. Because that cross was two beams, as it were, put together. And I'm going to tell you that cross was one day a tree that was cut down. And our Lord Jesus, the Bible said in Isaiah, was cut down. And our Lord Jesus was cut down from the glory that he had in heaven. And he was delimbed. They took his clothes. They put him up on the cross naked before a sinful man. And he hung his arms out, stretched out to this world. And he was the pit between God and man and hung there for our sins and died for our sins. And he allowed himself to be run over and walked over and spit on. But he saved us through it. And that cross is called a tree, actually five times, which is the number of grace in the New Testament. The cross of Calvary is called the tree. And it's through that tree being cut down, Jesus Christ, that you and I can be saved today. And he calls us to be trees. So I want you to leave this church today saying, I see men as trees walking. You know what I'm glad of today? I want to tell you this and I'm out of here. If the tie buyer was to walk up to me today and look at me, Brother Phil, there's a tie named Reg Kelly. Brother Matt, he'd walk up to it and he'd say, I think there's a little double heart right there. Then he might walk on the other end, Brother Larry, and say, there's some rot. Then he might look over and say, oh, there's some ingrown bark. Then he might say, there's a hole where some insects went through it. And that old time buyer, he might take his paint can and go, X. This is wonderful. I've got a stack of ties out at my house that's been X'd. Probably got 150, 200 of them. And here in just a week or two, you say, Reggie, what'd you do with them? Just throw them off over the hill? No. What'd you do with them? Cut them up for firewood? No, I ain't going to do that. I'm going to put them back on the mill, Brother Bob. We're going to cut them into boards. Can I tell you this morning, you may have a double heart, you may have ingrown bark, and you may have rot. And the insects of Satan and hell may have penetrated your heart. But can I tell you what? The master miller, if you're his log that he purchased, he's the one that's going to decide what's going to be done with it. And he may put you back on the mill and he may turn you into boards. And did you know what? Oh yeah, he's going to go in there with his machine at the milling plant. And that'd be fun someday for a field trip, believe you me. They got a scanner that scans that board, and what it does, it tells that saw what to cut out the good in it. And did you know this? That Brother Kenny, when that old saw goes through and starts cutting my boards, he's going to cut out that rot. And he'll cut off that double heart. And he'll cut away that ingrown bark. And he'll take out of my life, Brother Phil, and take into eternity that which is good and pleasing and useful for his glory. I'm glad God doesn't burn us up in the trash pile. Amen. Let's stand and go home. I've got to quit.